Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Yeah, you wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue and purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Church of C&E, you know, it's Christmas and Easter, and
but wasn't born again and just didn't go that much. I had a different, and I had a girlfriend, sixth grade, witness to me, told me she had a dream. I came to a revival meeting, got saved. And at that time, I was really, I don't know, atheist, but I didn't really believe much. I, you know, laughed about that. Actually went to a revival service at her Baptist church. Ended up getting her in trouble, mocking the preacher the whole time he's preaching. Later on, my wife, Charlotte, we've now been married 34 years, but when we met, I was 16, she was 14. She'd been raised up till 13, 14 in a spirit-filled Pentecostal church. So she'd witness to me, and I'd send her home in tears at times because I was total non-believer. Well, we ended up getting married. She was 18, I was 20. Ended up going in the Army. Got sent to Korea my first year. Well, I started seeking God then. And she was over there with me for 4 months in the middle of the year, and we'd go to chapel services over there. Again, I was starting to seek God, but we'd go to chapel services Sunday morning, but then that afternoon, I had to get her an Americanized apartment off base that we rented. Well, we'd go to chapel services Sunday, but then after that, we'd have parties at our apartment where guys would come over, and I mean, we'd smoke pot, take pills, drink, all that. And then that night, I'd try reading the Bible. Well, then she comes back to the States the last 4 months I was over there, ended up rededicating her life to the Lord. And she'd write me letters saying, I need to get saved so we can go to heaven together. I'd write her back telling her, hey, you know, I am saved. I'm going to church every Sunday. And, hey, by the way, I just went in half on a bag of marijuana with my section sergeant. And we'd smoke it while I was on guard duty. And then she'd write me back, you can't do that and go to heaven. Well, then I say made the mistake, but I'm being facetious. Well, I put it out there. I said, if I find out in the Bible, at that point I had enough sense, I guess, to believe that the Bible was supposed to be the word of God. I said, if I find out in there the stuff that I'm doing is wrong, I'll quit. Well, you put a challenge out there, the Lord's going to, you know, make sure that he answers that. Well, one of the Sundays at a chapel service, and you know, the chaplain services weren't anything like, quote, a spirit-filled, the services we have, but at the end of this one particular service, the chaplain asked us to bow our heads and pray and ask God what he wanted from us. And for the first time in my life, I know that I heard the voice of God. I prayed, and I said, God, what do you want from me? And he said, quit the drinking and the drugs. And, I mean, it just vibrated my spirit. Well, then one day on guard duty, I was just in a real small guard shack. I had a little Bible with me, and I'm scrolling through it. Well, I went to the concordance, and I ended up looking up. Obviously, smoking pot wasn't per se in there, but drunkenness was, and I found in Galatians 5 where it lists the sins of the flesh, and drunkenness was right in the middle, and it said, those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And in a guard shack, I prayed. I didn't know nothing about a sinner's prayer or nothing. I just, Lord, obviously, this is wrong. If you'll help me, I'll quit living like this, and I'll live my life to you. And immediately, I felt a difference. And then at that time, we were stationed up at the DMZ where we just lived in big tents. When we got back to our regular post, the only thing to do in Korea was either go to the gym, go to old American movies, or work out. Or, I mean, go to clubs. Prior to that, all I did was, all three. Well, this one evening, I tried going into a club, and just the whole atmosphere, the lights, the music, all that turned me off. It just made me sick to my stomach, so I left. Well, I ended up, stumbling across a flyer outside of a rec center that said Fisherman's Men's Group meeting this Saturday. So I ended up popping in at this men's group, and then a Christian men's group, and I walked in. The guy said, praise God, brother, you saved? And I said, yeah. And I prayed on my own. Then he said, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? And I said, I don't know what that is. You know, I was baptized as a baby. And he goes, that's not what we're talking about. We'll talk about that later. Well, they ended up having full-blown service, nothing like I'd ever experienced before. Ended up, they were spirit-filled. I mean, I felt the presence of God like I never had in my life. They, at the end, explained salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit. They laid hands on me. I mean, set me on fire. That's when I know that I know that, you know, I was born again, on fire for God. Got back to the United States, got stationed at Fort Hood, Texas, and all I told my wife was, I got to find a church that has the kind of presence that I felt in Korea in that men's group. Well, we just kind of visited different, you know, mainline, denominational, non-spirit-filled churches. None of them did I feel what I'd experienced over there. And then one Sunday, we went to it was actually a Pentecostal Church of God church and life was forever changed. We got baptized in water there, got baptized in Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, called to ministry there, saw gifts of the Spirit in operation, power of God, and started preaching there. And that's it. You know, that's how I got born again and filled with the Spirit and set on fire and preached my first message in 1984 and been running for God ever since.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, you went from drugs and alcohol all the way to the Lord, man. Him just setting you on fire and changing your life. And
yeah,
I know.
The crazy things, alcoholism runs in my family. I mean, you go all the way back, alcoholics, alcoholics, alcoholics. I was going down the same road, and I mean, it was the power of God and renewing my mind to the Word of God that delivered me from it. And you know, I haven't had a drink in over 20 years, and
that's awesome.
Power of God.
That's it, man. Only God can do things like that. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Only God can do. That's it. I saw him change a lot of people's lives. I mean, people that, you know, they would think there would be no hope, that they, you know, no, everybody gave up on them, but Jesus didn't give up on them, and Jesus changed their lives. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of them starts working for him and start changing other people's lives that's in the same position, because there's a lot of times where there's some people can never get to them, but somebody's been in their shoes can get to them and can lead them to the right way, and the Lord can use these people. And it's amazing how he does that. But, Jerry,
yeah.
Now, once you got set on fire, now, when did the firehouse get started? Did that come later, or where did that get started?
Yeah, from 84 to actually 2002, off and on, but it was more on than off. We served under other ministries. Youth pastor, children's pastor, led worship, assistant pastor, did all that. So basically he'd been discipled and trained and operated in just about every ministry there was. Then in 2002, September 2002, we launched the Firehouse Church. But when we first launched it, it was called Word of Life Family Fellowship, which is a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was either the first or second year in, the Lord dropped the name the Firehouse Church into my spirit, and it came out through a prophetic word that that's what we were to be, because most of our services, a lot of the songs were about the fire of God. A lot of the altar call times, ministry times during the worship, we'd pray for people, release the fire of God. And all the whole fire of God thing came about for us from the Brownsville Revival. Went down there 96, 97 several times, and that's where we really whole nother level with the fire of God, and that's what our ministry has been about ever since. So it wasn't until 2003 or 4 that we actually changed the name to the Firehouse Church. But again, and then there's a scripture, our God is a consuming fire. So it's just, that's a lot of what our ministry about is, getting people set on fire for God. I mean, the fire purges, purifies, cleanses, transforms, does all that, and it does that first. But then, man, you're on fire for God. And it's as hard as I ran for the devil, and I've never got that, where, you know, people get saved, God brings them out of the dominion of darkness, brings them into their kingdom, and then they just live this nominal life. I don't get it. It's like once we got set on fire, I mean, we got set on fire when we first got saved, but then just, you know, over time, you kind of get lukewarm. But then, man, when we got set on fire again around 96, we've kept it ever since, and it's, I can't settle for lukewarm, cold, complacent, compromising Christianity. It's, we got set on fire, and as hard as I ran for the devil, I'm running for God and want to take as many with us to heaven as we can.
That's awesome.
And if people are on fire for God, they're more likely to live for God and to witness and to share their faith and do all the other things that we're called to do. But it's, if you lose your fire, lose your passion, that's just where you end up in religion and lukewarm, compromising Christianity, and it's, can't do that, won't do that.
that's amazing, man. I could just feel the fire on your voice and your love for the Lord there, and I really believe that too. I believe that, you know, a lot of people, when they first, you know, get introduced to the Lord, Holy Spirit filled, they're on fire, they're praying for everybody, they're trying to save everybody. And over time, it seems like time starts knocking them down a little bit, and they need that, you know, that warm up to get them back on fire, to turn that grill back on them and just get them set back on fire. And, you know, and it's great that happens. And you know, to really get them out there, you know, building the kingdom for God, because we don't supposed to never stop building the kingdom for God. I always, you know, try to walk that walk and show people how to be in the Lord, not sitting back and not doing nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But,
well, Paul told Timothy to keep his spiritual fervor. I mean, stay hot on fire for God. So it's like we're responsible for that. Whatever we got to do, we've got to stay on fire. So
now, Jerry, when did you get connected with William Pollitt? Did he come to your church?
Well, I'd
church
first kind of seen him on Facebook, but that was real loosely. I'd read his posts. I think he read mine. I saw him in a service here at a different here in Lancaster, but we never connected. He said he saw me, and he said he saw authority all on me, even though we never connected or talked. A year or so later, he was ministering here in town, but came to a Sunday morning service at a different church we were ministering at, and we connected there. But then it just, for a few months, nothing. And then one day on Facebook, he messaged me after I'd commented on one of his posts and asked if I could call him. So I called him, and he wanted prayer, prayed over him and all that. And then in that conversation, the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to have him in to minister. That was probably 2 years ago. And then ever since then, we've become real close. I've had him in several times even this year to minister and had powerful services. And we ordained him at the beginning of this year.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw that on Facebook where he got ordained at your church, and he's a strong man in the power of God, and he, you know, the Lord used him very mightily, and he's,
yeah, he does.
Like I said, I've had him on the show a couple of times, and he's really brought the fire too, and
yeah.
I just wondered how all that took place. I never really heard the whole story from him, but
it was the Lord. Yeah, it was truly the Lord, and we need
to be
aligned with and connected with those that, you know, the Lord's wanting to connect us with, and both of us have a passion for God and his presence, and we know it's the power of God along with the Word of God that'll transform lives. But you got to have both, the Word of God and the power of God. And both our ministries are along that line, so that's why we connect. And I love it because he's younger and he's on fire. You know, oftentimes some people see somebody younger on fire. Oh, don't worry, he'll calm down. And I tell people all the time, I don't want him calming down. I don't want to calm down. I want to be 90, you know, and still preaching with fire and not on fire for God, you know.
Yeah, that's the way we all want to be. I'm going to hand this over to Chris, let him do the rest of this interview. Go ahead, man.
All right.
Yeah, so you were talking about hearing the voice of the Lord. Was that the first time you heard the voice of the Lord when you were talking about you heard him say, you know, quit drinking the alcohol?
Yeah, he just said quit drinking
and
the drugs. And it was just wild because he didn't say get saved or none of that. It was just quit the drinking and the drugs. And, I mean, it shook me. I mean, I knew that, whoa. And then that day that it was called the Fisherman, that men's group, when they laid hands on me and prayed after that, I had to get on a bus to go back to my post. And the whole time the Spirit of God was speaking to me.
Yeah, can you just maybe talk a little bit about how the Lord speaks to you in different ways?
Yeah, well, in that one, it was the Holy Spirit in my spirit. It wasn't an out loud, but it was just within myself. I heard another voice that just inside of me, like, vibrated my spirit, and I knew. Since then, it's calmed down because I've fine-tuned my hearing, and it's more of that still, small voice, but then it was more of a booming that voice that I heard in my spirit that I knew wasn't my spirit. I mean, there's either the voice of our own spirit, the voice of the enemy, or the voice of God. Those are basically the three voices we can hear, and I just knew it was God. And on the bus going back, the things the Lord spoke to me, it was areas of my life that I needed healing in, or that I was struggling, you know, and even forgiving myself with past sin and stuff. And the Lord's like, I've forgiven you for this. And just, man, he went down a list. And then over the years, it just, you know, in different ways. A lot of times either through the Word will speak to me, or, and I believe we can consistently hear his voice, but a lot of times with me, it's more being led of the Spirit. I'll just feel an unction to go in a certain direction, do a certain thing, and I don't always, quote, hear his voice telling me. It's just a leading of the Spirit. And if it's a big thing, you know, I'll usually hear his voice or somebody will confirm it. That's like in 85, we got out of the Army. moved back to Ohio, our hometown from Texas, and we're here for about a year or so, but it was miserable. You know, we thought we'd come back here, get family saved and all that, and, you know, that was working out, and I was delivering pizzas, wife babysitting at home, going to a couple churches, did some ministry, but I was crying out to the Lord one night, and again, I heard his voice strong that we were to move back to Texas and get involved in the ministry of the church that, you know, basically was our foundation. And I'm just like, awesome, but you got to confirm this. And the next day I called our pastor down there, and the first thing he said when he heard my voice is, man, I was just talking to my father-in-law about you, how much I could use your help down here. Bam, immediate confirmation. Went down there to check things out. It all worked out. We were able to move down there, stay with the deacon couple for a while. Had a use of a car, which ended up getting given to us, and we ended up being down there for 2 years, full-time ministry. And when there's major moves or major issues in my life, I know, you know, I'll hear the Lord's voice big time. But on a day-to-day basis, for me, personally, a lot of times it's just kind of a leading, you know, of the Spirit to do.
Yeah, there's awesome promptings, little promptings, tugging on your heart and stuff.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's awesome. So when you went to Brownsville, that was like, that was really the, Brownsville was like a gusher of the move of the Spirit, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah. Initially, it was Pastor John Kilpatrick, and I believe Steve Hill was with him, or it might have just been Kilpatrick and Linda Cooley, the worship leader, the local Assemblies of God group up in Columbus area. They had them up here for a meeting at a church. So my first taste was that. And, I mean, they laid hands on, you know, everybody that moved. And, I mean, I just got set ablaze. And it's like, Jesus, you know, I want more of this. I mean, we still love God. We're, you know, doing some ministry and all that. But it's just, you know, years had passed, and you're just kind of going with the flow of it. Well, I mean, that lit me up. Well, then a few weeks later, the church we were at that time, they were going down there. So first I went by myself with them, and I mean, I just got wrecked. I mean, multiple services. I went on a Wednesday night to a youth service, had teenagers laid hands on me. I was down for the count for probably an hour, closing the place down. And then went back two or three other times with my wife, and it's just like we got so set on fire, and it's like I'm never going to allow myself to get lukewarm again. And from there, it's just we've stayed on fire. And, you know, the Firehouse Church, we have – not the same level, but we have an awesome, and it's the Lord, but it's because we seek it. We have an awesome presence of His glory in this place, and we've had people that are part of this ministry now that they walk through the door, and it's like they just got hit with His glory just walking in. We've had different, we've had a worship leader come in. We've had him in twice this year just to have a worship and prayer type service. And he's like, man, ain't nothing like this. And he's traveled all over, ran with some big names, and just said, man, the peace that's here, the rest that's here. The first time he goes, man, when can I come back? Had another couple minister this last weekend, and he was like, I haven't felt this. And he's ministering all the time, him and his wife. They lead worship and minister prophetically and all that. He goes, I haven't felt like this in quite a while. And there's a hot spot, you know, and in our altar area where every Monday night and Sunday morning we gather around in a circle and pray. And for whatever reason, some say there's an angel there. Others, it's just, I don't know how to explain it other than there's an intense heat presence of God there. And this last minister was here last week, and every time he'd get in that area, he'd whoa, and he'd start staggering, and then he'd have to step out of it so he could continue to preach. And it's that's the, and I told him that's the spot Monday night and Sunday mornings where we gather around in a circle and we pray. And it's a hot spot in our sanctuary. Can't explain it, but you get in that area, and it's like the presence of God's all on you.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I saw a lot of men of God when they come into town, and, you know, if you see in the Spirit and you're open in the Spirit and you can tell these things, I could tell that there's angels that follow these guys around. And a lot of times you can tell where these angels is hanging out. And if you stand by where these angels are hanging out, because we're all being protected, all the generals and all, we're all being protected by angels. And, you know, some of them's coming in bringing in glory. And there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. We don't really see it. But it's always stuff going on when we're doing that. And a lot of people have no idea that what's going on. But, man, we got the whole heavens working for us. We got heaven working for us. And a lot of people say, oh, it's just a man of God, just a little bit of anointing coming out of him and this and that. No, there's a lot more going on than that. And, you know, even in the Word of God with Jesus, he had angels ministering to him. He had angels coming back and forth with him. They was always with him, you know, and there was times when the angels wouldn't allow it around him. He had to deal with things himself, and then when that test was over, you know, the Father allowed the angels to come to him. And I really believe that we go through the same thing. We have ministering angels. We got all that stuff. And like you said, that hot spot. And I've noticed, I went to some churches myself, and a minister that I know myself, I went to his little chapel, and he had a hot spot too. You stand there, you can just feel it going, and it's shaking and stuff. And that's awesome, man. And you have quite a bit of anointed ministers coming to your church, don't you, Jerry?
Yeah, part of what our ministry is to be is a revival hub. So every month, just about every month this year, and we're not going to do anything in, November. We're having a women's conference. Probably won't do anything in December just because Christmas and all that coming up. But I think every month this year, just about, we've had Friday, Saturday night meetings where we've had different guest ministers in that I knew carry the fire. And it's, our people. And what's funny, though, is people's work schedules, a lot of it, but a lot of Friday, Saturday night ones, we'll only have half of our people here, but we'll have people from out of town. We've had some out of state that they'll come to the Friday, Saturday night deals just to get refreshed, healed, fired back up, and that's part of what our ministry is about. We've never been about, let's just build the Firehouse Church into this awesome ministry. No, it's about building the kingdom of God. And in the same way, we've went out for years to go get ministered to keep our fire burning. We want to be that same type of place here, and we're starting to see that where we've reaped what we've sown. When we've traveled out of town, out of state to go get set on fire, or our fire increased. Now we got people coming here for that, and that just blesses my socks off.
That's awesome. Did you
and
go
we've
out
had,
to
you know, a lot of these last few months, we've had ministers in town and out of town that have come, and you know they're getting blessed and ministered to, and that's what I want. And then take it back to your place and spread it, you know.
That's awesome. Do you go to other churches and do the same thing?
Have. Yeah, every now and then I minister out, obviously, whenever I get an invite. And, you know, I'll minister out and, you know, I minister the fire and all that. And there's still times that I'll, a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, again with Kilpatrick, he ended up having Bay of the Spirit revival with Nathan Morris. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but that was an intense move of God. And I went to two or three of those, and, man, just more fire added to us. And then actually this week I'm going down to Texas. I'm part of Jerry Savelle's ministry and his annual ministers conferences this coming Thursday and Friday. So I'm actually going down to Texas this week. First few days I'm going to spend with our first pastors there that we were with when I was back in the Army. And then the end of the week I'm going to his conference. So I still go to places to get fed and refreshed and refilled myself. We all need it. And then I'll come back here and release what I get this weekend.
There you go.
And what was crazy is this last weekend, even though we had the services Friday and Saturday, Sunday morning, all my people were here, where a lot of them just, for whatever reason, weren't here for the Friday and Saturday. I mean, we had a total blowout Sunday morning, just, you know. We got a banner up on a platform because the Lord spoke it to me years ago to expect the unexpected. And it's like we expect him to move, but you don't dictate the how, when, and all that. And he did that Sunday just in the middle of worship. I mean, everybody in the place just about. We had one group on the floor, man, just joy all on them, others healing, deliverance. I mean, it was one of those I'm walking around just going from one thing to another. And, I mean, it was powerful. And it's just, and then the rest of the day I'm just at home thanking God for what he's doing in our midst and continuing to do in the lives that are being transformed. Had one lady come up Sunday that's just been here a few months and just said, I wanted to thank you so much for all that you're doing here. The word, she goes, I'm reading the word of God more than I ever have. And God just so transformed my life. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to come to church. And that's the thing I love is to see people come through the church door with a smile on their face, wanting to be here, not doing their religious deed, but looking forward to what God's going to do. And then when you got the bulk of a body that goes after God through the praise and worship, God can't help but bless and move in that atmosphere. Because we've hammered away at God seeking those, and I've often said this, he's seeking those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'll tell our people, I don't want him seeking. I want him hearing a sound, and that sound is the Firehouse Church shouting unto him with a voice of triumph, worshiping him, praising him. And because he inhabits the praises of his people, if we do that, he'll show up. You don't have to worry about what your needs are, what healings, miracles you need. God will show up, and he'll do it. But we got to give him what he wants first. So let's worship him. And the majority, if not all, come in ready from the get-go. You know, not every Sunday. You'll still have those that got to shake some stuff off, but God shows up week after week, and it just continues to blow me away with what God's doing.
That's awesome, man.
But again, yeah, this isn't overnight. This is years of seeking him and ministry and all that. And still nowhere near what I want with the volume of people we want to reach, but those that are here, they're getting transformed, and we're loving it.
Yeah, now what have you saw, I mean, your church has, as a community, really got connected in your church? What y'all do with the community?
Not a whole lot yet. It's just we're still trying. We started 2 years ago, but we're in a started back up 2 years ago. We'd shut it down in 2010, and for 2 years just kind of ministered out, helped out another church, and then September 2 years ago started back up. We were in a gym in another nearby town for 9 months, and then we ended up being in a actually rented out a Masonic lodge on Sunday mornings for 3 months. Then we found the current location. So we've just been in this particular area 10 months now. So right now we're still trying to build a solid core. So we haven't done a whole lot where outreach in the community is concerned. Getting those that have come, because a lot of them, well, just about all of them have come from other churches. I mean, we didn't seek them. They found us, but, you know, they were dead, drying up, or had church hurts, whatever. So we're still, at this point, getting our people healed up and getting them fired up and constantly hammering away of, now you need to take the fire, because I'll tell them, you can get fired up here and all that, but if that's all you do, then what's the point in it? You need to go out and spread it.
That's it.
So at this point, we're still
people ablaze.
Yeah, we're still setting, getting our people healed up, set on fire, and then we've had some, you know, that, hey, man, they're witnessing. You know, I got one guy, he'll call me. He's called me the last 2 weeks with a testimony of somebody at work that he's prayed for and got healed, or a neighbor or whatever. And I mean, they're getting it. Well, when more do that, that's when I know that we'll actually start reaching the lost, which is ultimately what we need to do in making disciples. But right now the bulk is just, they were already Christians, but a lot of them wanted more than what they were getting, and they're getting it, or they were hurt and they're getting healed up. So right now our focus is more on them, and then as we get this solid core, then we'll focus more on the outreach.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome how, you know, the Lord comes in there. And I really believe that there's a lot of people that goes to church that is hurt, and they stay in that church, and they stay hurt, and a lot of the pastors don't really know, but the Spirit of God knows what's going on. The Spirit of God, most, you know, all the time, can touch the people and change them and transform their heart to where God needs it to be. And it's awesome to have a community come in and get healed by the Lord Jesus Christ and be transformed, and then they can go and show that same fire to other people, where they can get set on fire and the Lord could heal them and do all of that great stuff for them. And that's amazing,
yeah.
Jerry.
Well, there's so many people that have been hurt, and it's that saying, hurting people hurt people, and until they deal with it and get healed up, they're not going to be effective. So it's that,
yeah.
And part of, years ago, I'd met with a pastor of a bigger church in Columbus for lunch, and during his lunch, he asked me what my assignment was. Well, I started giving him, like, our church vision, statement, mission. He goes, that's not what I'm talking about. He goes, one sentence, what's your assignment? And to be honest, I said, well, I don't know. I'm going to have to pray about that. So on the way home, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, what's my assignment? And it was like a quick one. He said, to teach my people how to overcome. And then as I thought back, and even now, that's been the thrust of our ministry, is teaching his people. Yeah, we're to win the lost, but once you become his child, his son, his daughter, and I teach you how to overcome. So it's a big thrust of our ministry, because everybody's, you know, gone through stuff, going through stuff, and that's a big thrust of our ministry, is to teach his people how to overcome. And you got to stay on
that's
fire,
up.
You know, as part of that.
That's
and, you know, big into faith. You know, faith is how we overcome. So it's you know, build people up in their faith. You know, faith doesn't, I post this, I believe this week on Facebook, faith doesn't keep you from having troubles in your life, but faith is what's going to get you through it. And I try to be, in everything, even the teachings, I try to be balanced. Some people, oh, balance, that's compromise. No, it's not compromise. It's too many people get in the ditch. They're either all word, 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 or they're all chasing signs and wonders, and you need a balance of it. You need the word of God. That's what's going to renew your mind, transform your mind, and you need demonstration of the Spirit of God and the power of God. You need both. So as much as possible, we try to balance that out and teach people God's word and the power of God. Well, there's the one time in Scriptures where they're asking Jesus, it was more about marriage in heaven, and he said, you're in error. You don't know the Scriptures nor my power. And I happened to read that one day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, and there's too many even today that don't know the Scriptures or my power. I don't want your ministry to be that way. Teach my people the word and demonstrate my power. And we've endeavored to do that as well.
That's the awesome. Main thing I try to focus on is to walk in life in that relationship and to constantly be in that fellowship. And it's like, you know, you stay in the spirit and truth, like you were saying earlier. It's like every single time I've had like a major manifestation of the Spirit of God, like invading the natural realm, so to speak. I mean, the Scripture has been very fluently flowing as mm-hmm. he's speaking to me, you know, and it's amazing. And I mean, really, there has been a lot of people in error, even denominations and religions started because of, you know, just encounters that were and they might have been legit encounters, I don't know, but they you know, they got twisted somewhere there.
Yeah, they'll take one thing and run with it.
Yeah, so it's important to keep that fellowship and, you know, the communion with the Lord strong, I believe, and just really, really take everything to him, before him, through him, you know, and all those different ways that he shows up internally, externally. It's awesome, man. It's just like, it's amazing. But I don't know, I just wanted to share that life
true.
Is so important.
It's the more I seek him, it's the more he shows up. And if I was seeking the power, the signs, wonders, and all that, that's, I believe, where you can get deceived and into falsehood. But when I seek him, I mean, my most one-on-one powerful encounters with the Lord is just me and him. It could be at home. We have like a spare room at our homes, our prayer room. It can be there or here at the church. I love to just, I'll lay on the floor behind my pulpit and I'll just have worship music on and I'm just worshiping him. And I mean, I've had fire of God hit me and I mean, I'm just shaking under the power of God, just laying behind the pulpit. And the Lord flat out at times in that place told me out of that, everything else I'm wanting in ministry, all the growth in people, growth in more people coming into the kingdom in this ministry, said all of it. The power of God in my life is going to come out of that, those moments where I'm just seeking him. Where too many times we run around doing all the other stuff to try to build a ministry, and he said it's in my presence. Doesn't mean you don't do anything else, but it's we got to seek the whole seek first his kingdom. And when I seek him... You know, and years ago, too, like first couple years or first year, I had my own appraisal company then, so I was making good money, so I was putting a lot in the ministry, where we did the mail-outs, real nice postcard mail-outs, where you mail out so many thousands, man, you can have instant 1,500 people. Well, we did that, got like 5 people out of it. And I'm like, what the heck, you know? So I took this one Friday, Lord, I'm fasting and praying. I'm going to stay here all weekend. I need answers. We had mercy on me. I was only there through that evening maybe, and he spoke to me loud and clear, and that's even when he gave me the whole expect the unexpected. And he said, I'm not going to build your church like other churches. I'm not going to build it on the plans and programs of man. I'm going to build it supernaturally.
Amen.
So I don't do all that other stuff. It's,
amen.
That's awesome.
And it's nothing wrong with them, but a lot of churches that have, you know, awesome children's programs, or they'll have this gimmick or this or that to bring people in. Well, it's whatever you use to bring them in, you're going to have to keep doing that or even increase it to keep the people. Because the next church down the road that has a better children's ministry or a bigger this or better coffee shop or whatever, well, then they're going to leave for that. Well, if our whole drawing, and I believe it takes longer because it's taking us longer, but if our whole drawing is the supernatural and the power and the presence of God, hey, we got that. If that's what brought them, that's what's going to keep them. Doesn't mean don't do any of the other stuff, but our focus isn't on all that other stuff to try to gain people. Because, again, when another church got bigger and better, it's going to be real easy for them to leave. But if it's the presence of God that's drawn them here, it's the presence of God that's going to keep them. So that's our focus. And we got families, like I said, we're drying up where they're at, and they every Sunday they come in with a big smile with a testimony, and they're so on fire, loving us, loving God, and it's, you know, you still have issues because we're people, but, I mean, it's, we're enjoying our, quote, ministry more now than we ever have in all the years of ministry, thank God.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And down here in North Carolina, we have these little small churches. It's like holiness churches, and you can go to these little holiness churches, almost like house churches, and you can feel that presence like you're talking about. It's very strong. It's just like as soon as you go in there, like, wham. And it's nothing like going into a place like that, into a church like that, that has that presence and has that the touch of the Lord that transforms you. And touches you, and I go to one myself, and sometimes I won't go to my normal church. I'll just go to that little small house church and just sit in and consume what God is doing in there, the presence of God, and let it just work on me. And it's just, you know, whatever you're doing in your own ministry, it just helps renew you and open you up because, you know, they're seeking God. They're really seeking God. They're, like you said, they're not seeking programs. They're not seeking, you know, 20 conferences. They ain't seeking, you know, the best band. They're seeking the Lord. That's the only thing they're seeking.
Yep.
And when they're seeking the Lord and expecting everything that He has to be poured on them, that's when all that other stuff is added. And you know, I saw this one couple come to this little small house church, and they was going to this church down the road. It's a big church, and they said, "My kids have been sitting in the pews for years, and they're on drugs, and they're living in sin, and I want to take them out of this church and bring them to a little church that actually has the presence of God and the power of God in and see them get transformed." They actually walked across the road to this little house church and wanted their kids transformed because they wouldn't get in a big church. And I was like,
amen.
Man, that's powerful.
I know.
That was powerful.
That just shows what the presence of God will do. Again, you know, I want to grow and all that because I want to reach as many people as we can reach, get them transformed. But, and I've said it over and over, I'd rather have 30 on fire than 300 just dead wood sitting there living compromised lives. But it's, you know, His presence is joy. You can't separate any part of God from who He is. He is healing, deliverance, joy, peace, prosperity, all that. And it's when we get in His presence and get His presence in us, everything we need's there. And we don't have to chase all the, you know, I don't have to chase after healing. I don't have to chase after joy. I don't have to chase after peace. Chase God. Seek God. And that's all right there for the taking. Everything we need is in His presence.
Yeah. Amen. What I was going to say is, like, to kind of be the encounter, you know, be the encounter for people, you know, because of the relationship that you have with them. That's kind of what I try to focus on, is that I want to be in so strong a relationship with you that my life is just an encounter of you flowing through me. You know, I guess my goal has always been to have unbroken fellowship, you know, and like the Bible says, pray without ceasing, you know. And if we do that, it's like we get more and more in tune with His voice and what He's doing, and the signs and wonders, they follow because of that life, you know. I'm just grateful to be a part of anything He does through me. I just count it the greatest honor to walk with Him and just be in fellowship with Him. It's like, you know where you're going, so, you know, enjoy it while you're getting there.
Yeah, enjoy the ride. Well, that's the thing, too. Even though I'm talking about seeking God and His presence and all that, we're carers of it as well. So wherever we go, He goes. But it's like when you come together corporately, you know, Jesus prayed that the same glory He had, we'd have. And I'll tell people, the same glory Jesus had, we have. You know, the anointed one dwells in the inside of us by way of the Holy Spirit. And when we come together, and even through our worship and our praise, we're releasing glory unto him, but the glory that's within us, we're releasing, and then his glory comes upon us. I know it's hard to explain. He's in us, but he's also among us, and it's like, it's just that's where we have the blowout services, I believe, because of what we carry is being released, and then he comes upon us as well, and it's just a combustion of his glory and his presence, and there's nothing like it. And that's like when we were in that Masonic Lodge for those few months. Even some that came there, you know, they were disturbed because it was Masonic Lodge and the symbols and all that. And we know you prayed over that, and it's like, yeah, we prayed over it, but I know what I carry. And regardless of what's gone on here the other 6 days of the week or whatever, when we walk in, the anointing of God and the presence of God and the glory of God comes in, it doesn't matter what took place here. Because this area we're using is set apart the moment we even walk in. So that's a whole nother teaching ball game. If people really realize what they carry within them, we're to be atmosphere changers, and that'll preach too.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. But it's been awesome to have you on here this morning, and getting to hear about your church and hear about getting set ablaze and bringing the presence in the church. It's been awesome, Jerry. And Jerry, could you pray for the audience, man?
Sure. Father, I thank you that your will is being done in each and every one of our lives as we continue to seek your face, to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness. All the needs that we have will be added unto us. And Lord, for any that may be listening, that need healing in their body, I just speak healing to their body. Jesus, you came to not just save the lost, but to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to raise the dead, and we're to do the same thing. So Lord, I just release your healing presence. And to every listener, Father, that may need healing in their body, I rebuke sickness, I rebuke disease. Lord, there's too many in your body that are battling depression and oppression. I bind that, I come against that in the name of Jesus. I release joy to your people. Father, I set myself in agreement with all those that have financial needs, Lord. You said that you are our shepherd and that we'd have no lack. You said that you'd meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So, Lord, whatever the need is, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, Lord, we know that you're the need meter, and I thank you for meeting the needs of every listener, Father, as they continue to submit, surrender their lives to you, and stretch out their faith towards you. Father, we don't just believe that you exist, but we believe that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And we know that as we continue to diligently seek you, you'll meet our each and every need, Lord. And I just pray for increase of your presence, of your fire, and of your glory into every here, Father, into every part of their life in the name of Jesus. And any minister that may hear this, Father, I pray that if they don't have it yet, that you pray for an unquenchable hunger, or that you place within them an unquenchable hunger, thirst, and a desire for more of your presence and fire. And then as they express that, Father, that you'd meet them there. So I pray for increase of your fire, God, upon every minister and every church, Father, that's hungering and thirsting for your righteousness. And Father, I thank you for both of these brothers, Stan and Chris. Lord, I pray your continued blessing and favor upon their life, their families, that you'd meet every need, grant every desire, Lord, as they continue to delight in you. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jerry, for that prayer. That was awesome, man. That was awesome.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, awesome, man. But, we'll try to have you on here again sometime in the future and talk about other different topics if you'd want, man.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I got some awesome, especially with my wife, some awesome miracles and healings that we've experienced over the years. I'd love to get into that sometime to really encourage some people where healing's concerned.
That's awesome. Can you shoot out one extreme miracle that you saw in your life?
Well, it'd be one with my wife. This was back in the 80s. Her first pregnancy, she went into premature labor, delivered at 6 months. So our first daughter, she ended up going home to be with the Lord. Well, a year later, she got pregnant again. And we were in the military then. The doctor that delivered our first one that didn't survive, he was the chief of staff. We told my wife just something with her body that he didn't believe she'd be able to carry a child full term. But if she got pregnant again, he'd personally take care of her. A year later, she gets pregnant. She's getting personal care by the chief of staff at Darnell Army Hospital in Florida, Texas. She'd walk in and got all these other women that are just sitting there, and they'd call them by their husbands, last four of their social. Well, they'd call my wife up, and he saw her. Well, at 6 months, again, she started going to premature labor like the first time. She goes into appointment. As she'd been cramping, the doctor checked her out. Her cervix was open. He saw our daughter's head at 6 months. He wanted her immediately hospitalized, bed rest. She said no. She said, my Lord, and the doctor was an atheist. He told her that previously because she's talking about the Lord. And she said, no, my Lord promised me I'm not going to lose another one. And he goes, you need to be hospitalized. Your cervix is open again. She goes, nope, not doing it. She was teaching pre-K or kindergarten at the Christian school at the church. Goes back to work. Didn't tell me none of this. That was like the middle of the week. On a Sunday service, our pastor, just in the middle of the service, he stopped, prophesied to her. He said, you're sitting here in pain today, aren't you? Tears start flowing. I look at her. I didn't know none of this. And he said, God's going to heal your body. He said, he didn't know none of this. He said, God's going to raise that baby up, and you're going to go full term. Tuesday, they had a women's meeting they prayed for. Wednesday, goes back to the doctor. Her cervix was totally closed. Our daughter had raised clear back up. Oh, and part of that prophetic word, he said you're going to go full term to the due date. God closed her cervix up, raised our daughter up. She went full term, delivered on the due date. That's the sped up version of it. But God did that. And, I mean, that was an absolute miracle because before there was no stopping. They gave her medicine, all that. There was no stopping the labor, none of that. And this doctor was just like tripping. You're a fool. He flat out told her in that office. She goes, no, I'm going back to work. God's going to heal me. And when she delivered, that doctor cried. And he said, you've made a believer out of me. And we ended up giving him a precious moment doctor statue with a card afterwards. But that was, to this date, outside of our salvation, the greatest miracle we received. And we ended up having another daughter after that. So we got two beautiful daughters. And even the second time around, it was different health issues with my wife. But God ended up healing her with those too. But that's the greatest one right there.
That's awesome. Incredible. That's awesome, Jerry, how God transformed you. But, you know, like I said, you know, thanks again for coming on here. It's been a blessing to have you on this show this day, and you just sharing your testimonies and how the Lord has touched your life and touched your ministry. And, you know, I'm sure that he's going to give you more abundance fire, and you're going to see your church grow tremendously. I just have that feeling. And just keep that fire in that church, man. Keep it burning, man.
Yep.
Keep it burning.
Got to, brother. Got to.
That's great, man. Well, God bless you, Jerry, and we'll talk to you sometime soon. And can you give everybody your websites for your church and all the different, you know, things online that you have for your ministry?
Yeah, the church website's obviously www, and it's all together, firehousechurch.net, firehousechurch.net. And then they can go on that, and at the bottom there's a link to our YouTube. We have videos on there. And most of the videos on there, some of them are from me, but a lot of them are the guest ministers that we've had, so they can see those. Our Facebook, it's on there. They can get to our Facebook through our church website as well, but I'm on Facebook, Jerry A. Roth. You can probably just Google that if they're not already a friend on there. And we have a Firehouse Church page on there as well where we have announcements and all that. But that's the main ways. They're a website, Facebook site.
That's
that would
awesome.
Keep people up
that's
to date
awesome.
With everything and have videos. And then on our church website, we have a link to all the Sunday morning services. We just audio record those and upload those, and they can be downloaded as MP3. We don't charge for that, so people can listen to them or download them, whatever, free. So we do that as well.
That's awesome. And I also tell, you know, everybody just check this out. Check out his church. Check out his ministry. If you're nearby, just stop by someday and just enjoy the presence of the Lord and watch the Lord
Amen.
Use these ministers and transform people. And I do want to promote the Healing Light. You know, we've got the Healing Light page on Facebook. We've got the Healing Light Roadshow, conference and roadshow, where we go out and take people out the street and teach them to walk in the presence of God, pray for people. It ain't nothing that we're really teaching. We're just showing you something that you already have that you don't walk in very much. So that's what we do. We like to take people out on the road, take them out to the Walmarts, just watch them pray for people and show you how it's done, where you won't be scared. You see us do it, and then you get involved and you take it home. And you do the same thing in your own store. You do the same thing in your own street, because that's what the apostles did. That's what Jesus taught us to do, and that's what we're all about. So just check out the Healing Light Roadshow, and we've got a lot of things on the Healing Light page, the radio page, and you see a lot of shows. We are starting up a Healing Light YouTube page. Check that out. I've got 2 deliverance videos on there at this time, but we're getting ready to do a podcast pretty soon where we're doing different teachings and stuff. So that's something we got coming pretty soon too. But just stay tuned. We got a lot of stuff going on this show, and God's touching people. And we'd like to say God bless every one of y'all, and we will see you Wednesday night. Thank you again, Jerry.
Man, thank you, brothers. God bless you both.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, yeah. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Revolution.